Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, New York, California, Florida, Pennsylvania, the whole 50 to whatever number of states. It's been a great afternoon. I'm so excited today. I have a special guest on the show, a very special guest. He's a bodybuilder. His name is Nathan Steiger. We're going to do a lot of talking today. We're going to discuss his business. We're going to discuss how long he's been in bodybuilding. We're going to discuss his height, his weight, whatever you need to know. And any questions you want to ask, just call in. And then let's just get on with the show right away because I couldn't wait to speak to him because this guy has a lot of things going for himself. He's dedicated. He's excited about talking about nutrition. He's excited to talk about bodybuilding. He's excited to talk about what his business has to offer. He helps figure fitness, bikini, powerlifters, you know, anything to do with bodybuilding he's involved in. And he's also called himself a training guru, which, you know, I believe, because if you look at the results of his clients, you know, his client is phenomenal. I mean, he just takes an average person like myself and just, like, sculpt them and turn them into, like, you know, a bodybuilding god. So I'm going to put Nathan on the phone right now, and here he is. Nathan, good afternoon. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
Oh, my gosh. I was so excited to talk to you. I couldn't even sleep last night. I was like, oh, I wonder, you know, how many questions of what I'm going to ask you and stuff. It's such a great honor to have you on the show, honestly.
Well, thanks for doing this. And as always, you know, it's good to hear people's voices about the opinions of the athletes and to realize that most of us, well, not most of us, some of us actually do have an education and can actually talk about the sport rather than the general assumption that we're all meatheads and all we do is lift weights.
You know, it's so funny you said that because it's, you know, people back, I mean, I don't know if they still do it now, but, you know, people still believe that if you're muscular, you have no brains, and that is not true.
Not at all.
So let's change that perception today, okay?
Yeah.
But you know what I found exciting about you is this, that I know that your height is 6'1", and your weight is about maybe between 250 to 280. How long have you been bodybuilding, and how long did it take you to build up that muscle on such a, you know, a tall, you know, such a tall frame?
Yeah, it is harder for the taller athletes typically, and, you know, it's, you know, for those of you out there that don't understand that, if you, you know, somebody has a 3 foot long arm versus a 2 foot long arm, well, there's a lot more muscle you have to fill on the 3 foot long arm versus the 2 foot mm-hmm. long arm. So on stage, the presence of a smaller athlete is going to look more impressive than somebody that's taller unless they're completely filled out. I have been working out, and I say that just because I just lifted weights since high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 33 now. Almost forgot that. Just had a birthday. I'll tell everybody 32, but now it's 33. So just, you know, it's a progression, and it's something that, you know, you never, even with most jobs out there, it's something you got to start out in the mailroom and work your way up. So it's something that slowly gets built over the years. And I did not start bodybuilding. I mean, I've been doing it about 14 years, just lifting weights, but did not start bodybuilding mm-hmm. typically, as one would think of it, until 2 years ago. I had been told by a friend of mine who was a training partner of mine that, you know, I should do a show, and I looked good, and I'm like, ah, that's nothing I'm interested in. And they mm-hmm. talked me into it, actually did it, and won the show, and that was that one in Buffalo back in March
mm-hmm.
of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I went to a Rochester show, Jim Rockhill's Rochester's Championships, and that's in June of 2009, the same year, so it was just a little bit after, and won the overall
wow.
there. I won the overall at Buffalo as well, but I was a novice there, which is kind of interesting, and they allowed you in that show to cross over. So as a novice,
mm-hmm.
some shows will only let you compete as a novice, and that's it, and then once you place first or second or third in some shows, you can then do the open class on another year or in other
mm-hmm.
shows. But at the show, they allowed me to cross over, so I beat all the newcomers that have never competed before, and then I also crossed over into the open class at that show and beat
mm-hmm.
people that were competing for years. So that told me I was, like, on the right track, I guess, is how I would put it. And same thing, went to Rochester, won my weight class there, the super heavies, and the overall, and received a special
mm-hmm.
award, I guess, for the most muscular, which was a special trophy they handed out. They usually hand out, like, a best poser award, which I didn't get.
Wow.
So from there, then went to the national stage, of course, the following year, and you know, did the North America, which I placed eighth in this year, and then Nationals, which was a huge show with over 40 competitors and got 13 players.
Wow.
So it's exciting, I can say, you know, and that's kind
I'm
of...
Not, I mean, you make it seem like it's nothing, but it's really incredible, you know?
I think a lot of that comes, people put the pressure on it, like, to be such a difficult sport, and so you got to put everything you've got into it and this and that, and it's like, you know what, I look at it like a hobby, and I watched that, and I think I kind of, after the show, my first show I did, I did catch the bug, but and once I did that show, I kind of was watching TV and seeing these fishermen, these professional fishermen on TV, and I'm like, these guys are getting $100,000, and they've got to love fishing, and they're making money and having fun. I'm like, what's better than that? And I love working out, so I'm like, hey, I can do it. I'll do it, and it's a hobby. I work out to work out. I don't work out to bodybuild. The bodybuilding is just that my body has developed into that, you know, makes me good for the sport. So it's just kind of like the icing on the cake. So I'm, you get done doing it. So some people don't know they're a good marathon runner, and they get out there and run, and they're like, hey, I'm good. So they do it.
Wow. And another thing with your body, what I'm looking at, when I see the pictures, I mean, would you say that's good genetics? Because, you know, it's very hard to get a body like yours. Like, you're about 6'1". It's hard to get, have the whole body even out to look right. Because sometimes the top frame is bigger and then the leg is small, or the legs are bigger and then the top is small. But everything is even with you.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And I think, you even had Leonard Hawkins on, and he was like, nothing's good. And I am one of those people that I do feel I have good body parts, but I also have weak ones, which, maybe the general public doesn't see. But for me, typically, it's my calves are small for my size, as well as my hamstrings and my biceps. So with that being said, I did bring up my arms considerably, and I talked to the judges, and this is kind of, you ask them because they're the ones that score you, and you say, well, why did I score here? And so right now it's hamstrings and calves are really my main focus, and I'm thankful it's only that, and then overall size as well. Every year we want to put on more muscle, so I'm thankful it's only that because some people have to put on shoulders and chest and back, It's like, wow, that seems like starting over, so I'm trying to play it, but I guess I think I have the little edge there because I've trained for 14, 15 years and have not competed. So it's basically like I've had 15 years of an off season where other bodybuilders my age have been competing for, that time, and they diet down half the year and then try to grow. So I've basically had twice the growth time than anybody else would because I'm not restricted by the, the diet. So,
Wow.
That's about that.
Well, what was the first moment, like that very first moment? I know you mentioned the time of when you started, but what I mean is like the moment within your heart that you knew that bodybuilding, that you wanted to get involved in bodybuilding.
Yeah, it wasn't until, I was younger, of course, and I always looked at the Arnold Schwarzenegger and Conan. I had all the movies, who didn't? The old Charles Atlas magazines with the guy kicking sand in the guy's face, and he gets bigger and beats the guy up. But I didn't really get into bodybuilding and know it was for me until that winning that show at Buffalo.
Right.
It's just the accolades I've gotten from it and the the people talking to me about it. It's just like, it is a vain sport, unfortunately, and I try my hardest to not, get involved with that grouping because so many people are arrogant and they don't like talking about it. That you should bow down before them and all this, but it's just like I realize it is a vain sport, and we're up there in tiny little briefs, and to me it's really weird, but it's something that's part of the. I mean, it's no different to me. I look at it like an Olympic swimmer. They're there. They're in these tiny little outfits, and they've got to do their sport. But wasn't until after the show and winning the trophies and feeling that rush, it was just like, wow, I did really good. No, it wasn't until the national shows that I realized, okay, I'm not the best of the best out here anymore, so I'm kind of a little fish in a big pond when you get to that.
I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, it's so... I don't know. I don't think so because, you're huge. I don't think so. I think that if you had a shot, I tell everybody, there's certain people I tell this to, but I think you have a shot at the big one.
Well, thanks.
I really do, honestly.
Like I said, it can really change from year to year. I mean, there's some people out there that place 13th. Like Jeff Long is a bodybuilder. He works with George Farah, who's a guru, who I also work with, and I know Leonard Hawkins also works with. But you know, he brought him from 13th place at Nationals, his first national show, and then the next time he competed, he won it and turned pro. So it could just be a matter of a year. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that it can change that quickly, but it depends on how much work you put into it and what you're able to accomplish, you know, that the judges tell you you need to fulfill and to bring up. But, yeah, that that's about it.
Wow. And I wanted to ask you, because I know you got your own business and stuff, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes because I'm excited to hear about it. But how many times do you work out? Like, how many times do you work out a day? Like, now I know this is your off-season.
Not yet. I've actually got a show in 4 days here on Saturday, so I've got to actually do this show to in place first or second to requalify for national.
Saturday?
Yep, this Saturday in West Virginia. It's Eric Fankhauser's Grand Prix and down there in West Virginia, so I'm going to go down there and hopefully get first place in the overall there, or second place is fine for me, too, and that'll qualify me for next year. So then I can have a nice home.
I wish I'd known that.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. We wing it here on this show a little bit, so we're good. And I don't think I let many people know and try to keep it a little bit quiet because you never know who's going to show up. But there's people out there that don't know somebody in the national levels competing, and they'll back out of a show, you know, because they think they don't stand a chance. And I try to keep that quiet sometimes so that, you know, I'll have good competition to go against. And if somebody beats me at the show, then great. I mean, that tells me they're better than me, you know, and they should be.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it, Nathan. I doubt it. Because
we'll
you know why? Because I'm older. I'm 40 years old, but I saw a show that was the most amazing show in 1992. This was Chris Duffy, okay? He was 6'1", just like you, big as hell, and he was the tallest one on the stage.
Wow.
Okay, he stood out of the whole. Not only, there was other tall guys, too. I don't know if you've seen it. If you check it on YouTube, you'll see. He was just like you, like huge, tall, 6'1", and he stood out. You know, and he did, like, leg posing. Huh?
I said I will check that out on YouTube for sure. That's,
yeah, he was 6'1". I think he was 6'1", and he was 250 pounds. He stood out. I mean, he didn't even do as well as the other guy. And, you know, I'm sorry to say that, but it's true. But he did well, but he didn't do as well as the other guy. But it's just something about him. It's something about a big guy with a tall frame. Because, you know, you're looking at long length, you're looking at long arm, it's hard. And I heard from many guys, it is hard to put muscle on a 6-foot frame. You got to get a hand clap for that because it is hard to do.
Thanks. Yeah, it is a lot of hard work. I guess I don't realize how much harder I work because I've never been a short guy. So, you know, I can imagine the other guys that are shorter, you know, work to their capacity, and I do what I can do. And I guess they just, you know, if you grow, you grow, and that's where I think some of the genetics comes into play. You know.
Yeah. So I doubt that. I mean, I'm looking at, listen, if you place, like, between 5th and 1st, that's damn good, even the 6th.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to do high because your body is sick. I'm sorry to say that. That's our New York term. You're from upstate New York. I'm from New York City.
Hey, I'm
so
up with
we understand each other.
You know what sick means. I'm up with the lingo.
I know. You're from New York. You have to know because we originated the word sick.
That's right.
But your body is sick. I just want to tell you, it's like colossal. There's a picture that you took that I'm telling, because I'm a photographer as well. Like, you also do a little bit of filming and photography. But the picture that you did, where you raised up your two arms, it was like you were holding two buildings away from each other.
Yeah, I know the picture.
That picture is, oh, my God, it's absolutely, I don't even know the word for it.
Oh, cool, thanks. Yeah, we just, that was in Atlanta, and that's with Dan Ray. He's a photographer, and we did that. It was just, you know, we were just messing around with stuff. And he's a good photographer, so he knew what to do, and he got that done. But, you know, getting back to, you know, the placings and things at shows, it's just one of those things where that's the one thing that probably bothers me the most about this sport. As much as it's an individual sport, and I don't rely on anybody else to determine my success. You know, I do have a team and a network of people that help me, but it's, again, if they drop the ball, it doesn't mean I fail.
Right.
Like baseball or football or something like that. But the thing mm-hmm. that bothers me the most is, like, if you were in powerlifting or something like that, you know, and you lift, you know, 600-700 pounds and you lift the mm-hmm. most, well, you win.
Mm-hmm.
Here in bodybuilding, you may sometimes look the best, and people in the crowd and other people and other judges may say, wow, you look the best, but you may not place first. You may place second or third. So it's one of those things where effort put into it is sometimes all you can do, but your fate is up to the judges, and that's something that, you know, which in Olympic sports and things like, well, it's, you know, what they feel you deserve. So, and a lot of the things are you got to pay your dues. You got to be in the sport a little bit, you know, pay your membership mm-hmm. fees and, you know, get on shows like this and communicate and, you know, get out there and get fans and get people, you know, chirping about you so that, you know, mm-hmm. when you get up on stage, some of the judges will be, hey, that's that guy, and, you know, that's who they've been talking about, and, you know, then you kind of get some name recognition and take it from there. But, well, that's about it. But
yeah.
other than you ask about working out, I only work out 4 days a week. I train
mm-hmm.
everybody in that time, and it's usually just Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday are my training days, and the other days are time off.
Mm-hmm.
Really, oh, you know, the gym, I'm only at the gym about 45 minutes to an hour at a time, maybe an hour and a half on leg day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time away from the gym is when you grow, it's when you're repairing the muscle, and too many people are there, you know, bragging. I was there 2-3 hours. I'm like, okay, well, the first hour was good, and then the other two, you've pretty much burned away any muscle you could have dreamt of growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, what I always say is it's 20% gym, 80% kitchen. So the food,
I agree
the rest,
with you.
Yeah, it's very important.
You know what I want to ask you? It seems like you are a motivated person. I can see that, and you know exactly what you want. Do you, I know you have some clients, like, what do you tell them, you know, like, what are your tools to win? Like, what advice do you give them?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, I'm not super selective about the clients I take on because everybody deserves an equal chance. There are some people
mm-hmm.
that you can kind of see they're wishy-washy, and you know right from the get-go that they're
mm-hmm.
just going to be difficult, and they're going to cheat, and they're not going to follow it, and they're going to blame you for it. So it's one of those
yeah.
things where I'm hoping to people make them feel comfortable. In a lot of my outlines, when people ask for diets, I do everything online. I don't do anything at the gym, so I don't personal train. Everything
mm-hmm.
is coaching and guru services done online. And it's a lot of telling people that you can promise them what's going to happen if they follow things and give them a visual picture of what they're going to look like and show them testimonials before and afters of other people just like them. And it's
mm-hmm.
a lot of just motivation and, you know, keeping these people interested in coming
mm-hmm.
to the gym. Of course, people that are already at the gym, it's a lot easier than somebody that's never been in there for years, you know, but
mm-hmm.
once people start seeing results and, you know, I can lose, you know, 2 pounds to 5 pounds off of somebody in the, you know, first week or so, and then they see that and they're like, wow, this is working. So they keep doing
yeah.
it. Yeah, and most of the people
but, you
are
know,
like,
I wanted to ask you
don't
something.
Anymore. They're like, I don't even want fast food anymore, you know, because they know what it does to their body. So.
Have you ever felt like you wanted to give up? I know it doesn't sound like you at all, judging from when, you know, talking to you. But have you ever wanted to, like, give up? Like, once maybe just a little bit and say, you know what, I'm going to throw this in because.
Yeah, I don't think it's come to that. I mean, I said to myself, boy, if I don't place top five, that's it, I'm done. You know, but it's one of those things where it never comes that way. And, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
just kind of it. I think I say it more to, like, put a negative spin on it for myself so when I do better, I'm really happy. You know, or if
mm-hmm.
I don't do it, and I say, well, boy, you know, like maybe in my head I really hope to get top five, but I'll tell people, well, hopefully I'll get top 15. You know, and that way it's like I'm not letting myself down if I do get 15th, you know, but it's one of those things.
I apologize, but I doubt it. I know you like to tell yourself that, and so, but I doubt it. I doubt you're going to even get close to 15 because your body's off the wall. There's no way. There's no way.
You know, I placed 13th at Nationals, and that was the same show, you know, that Leonard did, but again, it was a really, really tough show, and local shows I usually consider, you know, getting first or second. That's kind of in my head
mm-hmm.
as doing that. But it's something I'm not in control of. You never know what freak is going to walk out there. I mean, people at the Buffalo and the other shows I did, they were freaks, and here I walk on, and I'm the freak, you know, and they're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know? So you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
But you know what I want to talk about? Your business. You have Nate Built Pacifics. Did I say that right?
Yes, Nate Built Pacifics.
Correct. Yes.
Online coaching guru service, and I offer it to everybody, and it's set up as a name. At the end, it says is specifics, which means it's specifically detailed for each individual person. There is not one diet I put out there or training program that is the same as another. So there's no cookie cutter. There's no cookie cutter training programs because everybody is different. You know, whether it comes from just size, age, gender, or just bone structure, or just flexibility, things like that that people can't do because of limitations or food allergies. So I'm very, very detailed when it comes to that. And, you know, I am the same way with the real estate business that I own here in New York. I also do DVD production, you know, filming local shows and videos so I can sell that to athletes because not a lot of people do that, and they want to see their show when they're done. And then I also do, like you see on TV, the flip homes where I'll buy a, you know, run-down home, fix it up, and rehab it, and then resell it on the open market. So I am definitely entrenched in being busy all the time. And that comes back to where you said, do you ever feel like you want to give up? There are times I say I want to give up, but I just want to be lazy every now and then. You know, and I do. My dad, I've taken after him as far as with the real estate and work myself to the bone. And I've seen somewhat what it does to people when they work too much for everybody else and not enough for yourself. So I've learned from that and taking breaks when I need it and when I feel it. And, you know, it's just certain things I don't need to be involved in the business, where he may be involved himself, my father, I'm speaking, and it stresses him out, and it's unneeded stress, and it's stress that somebody else should have because it's their job, not ours, you know. So, but, yeah, again, sometimes you have to do what it takes to get a deal done, and I'm not afraid to do that either. So I'm definitely very, very involved with a lot of things, and the bodybuilding is, you know, the hobby, like I say, it's not making the money right now, but hopefully it will.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. You know, I believe that, absolutely. Because I do paralegal work. I also do a radio show. I also write for a magazine. So I got my hands in everything.
Yeah, I was going to mention, I looked at your profile and saw you did all of that, trying to find loopholes and bring attorneys out. So that's really neat. And you had several other things, too. So, you know, and it's nice. When one thing is slow, you can focus a little more on one of the others, you know, and really try to bring that up, too. So it's nice to have a plethora of things to do and take care of.
And I find that I'm more healthier when I do a lot of things, because then on top of that, I work out, too. So my mind is always busy, you know?
Yes. Yeah, but, you know, you need to take a break, too. So, you know, but I'm sure you get yourself stressed out, and you're like, man, I'm going to quit this. And, you know, it's just like you asking me that. you know, you probably never will, but sometimes you just need a break, you know?
Yeah, sometimes.
People do. You do need a vacation. I think one thing, too, which is kind of cool, is I put on the post online, you know, a couple people had asked when I'm on the show if I could answer some questions for them.
Yes, please do. That's what exactly what I was going to get to you just now. Yes, could you do that for us, please? That would be so much fun.
Yeah, I thought I was going to, I mean, I didn't really think of this until the day of today, so I only got a few questions, but they're basically about the same thing. A guy named Ron Falk, he's on my Facebook. On there, Ethan Steiger. He had asked him, written in and said, you know, how many calories a day am I eating, and what kind of percentage, or, you know, what of those calories, what is protein, fat, and carbs consist of in my diet? And
that's a good question, because I'd like to know, too. I saw that question.
Yeah. And to be specific about it, it's up till last year, I was actually only eating 3,500 calories a day. And that was from very, very low, considering you know, the normal person's diet is around 2,000 to 2,500. That doesn't even work out. It was very low for somebody my size and height. And from Rochester's show a year later to North Americans, I put on 16 pounds just eating that little bit. So my calories for this next offseason are going to probably double. I'll try to be around 7,000 to 8,000 calories and hoping to put on just as much muscle this year, because I'm really going to revamp things and change things around. The difference, though, is you hear people eating 7,000 to 10,000 calories, but they're eating McDonald's along with good food. You know, they're doing cheat meals, which I do as well. They are very important, you know, maybe a couple times a week, maybe three times a week, just to change your body metabolism, because it does get used to what you're eating, you know, chicken and pasta, everything same all the time, so it's good to change it up. But the quality of foods is what makes the difference. So I could eat 3,500 calories, but it's coming from high-quality protein, high-quality carbohydrate sources, and very little fat. And I will put on more muscle than somebody, you know, than somebody that's eating just a lot of carbs and a lot of bad fats and, you know, moderate amount of. So quality does matter. Now this year I'm going to introduce quality and quantity and just eat more and of the good things and take it from there. But as a general rule of thumb, I always tell everybody, start off at about 40% of your diet is protein, 40% carbs, about 20% of fat. You're not necessarily trying to get bad fats, but you're going to eat fats that naturally occur in food, but as well as good fats like from almonds and walnuts and cashews and, you know, fish oils and things like that, and avocados, so natural peanut butter, things like that. So it's important, and fats are important for boosting testosterone and keeping the pet metabolism going. So there's a lot to it, but that answers that question, I believe. And then from there, people just have to judge, you know, hey, am I getting fat on this? And if they are, then they have to lower the carbs a little bit or drop the fats percentages, raise the protein percentage. So it's just a matter of trial and error. There is no set number for anyone. And I never, if you were to call me and say, Nate, I want a diet, you're going to get a basic diet from me. I mean, very detailed, but as far as the nutrition goes, it's going to be very basic as far as you're going to do this for 2 weeks, and then you're going to send me pictures, which I require from everybody every week, and I'm going to be able to see, okay, what's changing? What do I need to change from there? Because there's nobody out there that can nail it the first time. I mean, you need
to No. I agree with you.
So, and that's where I think too many people get lazy. They just give them a cookie-cutter diet, and they see some results, and they just keep it there. Well, I change them all the time, and it's a weekly change for people, and as they do shows and things, and, you know, I work with couch potatoes and anybody, any athlete, doesn't matter, just people that want to get in shape and feel good. But the diet changes, you know, every single week, and as people do shows, it changes every day, so it's a lot of work, and I'm very inexpensive compared to the other ones out there. You know, and I'm always going to stay the same price. I don't care if my name says IFBB Pro next to it. I'm not in it for the money so much. I mean, you do want to make money, but it's not the driving force. I mean, I just love the sport. I love working out. And I used to be a gym teacher, phys ed teacher, so I love, you know, I always love to see the kids I was teaching accomplish that I taught them, and it's the same thing here. So that's
well, it shows in your work, because there's a couple of people that you transformed that I found that it was crazy. Okay, like for instance, like this guy named Richard White, he lost 65 pounds. You know what I mean? It's like he had like a, I mean, he wasn't fat, but he was like, you know, not proportioned right. And for and then the that was a before picture. The after picture, he looks great.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely really overweight. So he, you know, he never really worked out, and boy, he just ballooned up. And you know, I know you said he wasn't fat, but I told him every day he was. You have to be realistic with people, and you know, just like if my best friend tells me, "Oh, Nate, you look perfect," and I'm not looking the way I should look, I mean, he's doing me more disservice than he is helping me. And I'm very critical. Like when my girlfriend critiques me, I almost don't listen to her. I'm like, "You're supposed to say that, honey, because you're my girlfriend." So I go in and somebody else, I'll be really critical, and that's what makes us better. You know what I mean? And you know, to sit there and just coast along at your job and have your coworker say, "Oh, you're doing great," but then the boss walks in the room and says, "What the heck do you think you're doing?" You know, you're like, "Oh, yeah, but I thought I was doing good all this time." Well, then you get my coworker for telling me I was doing everything right when I wasn't. You know.
And then you have like Andy Pacos and Richard White. They wanted to compete next year.
Andy Pacos did compete. He did his first show. I don't think the bug hit him as much as it should have. He needed more time to diet, but he was one of those people that just wanted to do a show, and one show wonder, I call him, and he wanted to do it and get it over with, and I told him, you know, he really wasn't ready. I told him he wasn't ready, but he wanted to do it, and I'm not going to stand in the way of somebody's goal. So he looked good enough, I think, that, you know.
He did.
You know, he made some major improvements from what he was. So, you know, and those are just a few of the people. I have 32 clients right now that I'm working with, and those are just a few of them that kind of gave me permission to put their picture up. So there's more to come, I'm sure, and, you know, it's just the business I plan on pursuing and even expanding and, you know, doing some, getting into personal training as well out of my house. I'm building a new house, so, and including a studio in there as well. So we'll
That's
get
a great
that.
Idea, honestly. Yeah. Because everything, you could keep everything close. You don't have to drive
right.
from like 10 miles to go from one place to the other. Everything should be
right.
like a camp. So.
Yeah, and then I don't have to go to the gym anymore. I can work out right in my house, you know, so which is nice. But, you know, there's something too, actually, I don't think you know, is which is probably going to surprise you as well, is with my training, when I did the Buffalo show, I had back
mm-hmm.
issues. And after the Rochester show, this is just last year, a year and 3 months ago, I
mm-hmm.
actually had a microdiscectomy, which is a back surgery.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people know that I had a debilitating surgery that knocked me out of the loop for about, you know, 4 to 6 months, and I came back from that in a short amount of time to, you know, be able to compete at the national level too. So that's something that gives people hope out there too, that, you know, no matter what happens, and I mean, I could not walk. I mean, I was on stage at the Rochester and limping, and, you know, it was just excruciating, and anybody with any kind of disc problems knows
mm-hmm.
that when you get a pinched nerve, it affects everything. So
yeah, knocks down everything from head to toe.
Yeah, a lot of pain. So I got through that and got surgery and was laid up, but, you know, made a comeback from that. So when I see people scooting around and, you know, and making the excuses that, oh, I had this done or this done, I'm like, listen, you can come back from anything if you really want to. And I think a lot of bodybuilding and diet is willpower. And that's part of the reason right now I do not personal train. And stand
mm-hmm.
there and count reps for people. I mean, it's, you know, body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to come to your house and say, okay, time to eat your corn or time to eat your protein. You know, it's like, you know how to eat because you were taught at a very young age how to eat, you know, properly. You don't need somebody to sit there and count reps for you. I mean, with most of my clients that are local, I'll teach them proper form and technique.
Mm-hmm.
I'll meet them a few at the gym. And then once
mm-hmm.
I taught them to do it right, they don't need me anymore. You know, and,
yeah.
and I always give people the analogy that it's like, you know, people are like dogs, and you just put a, you know, somebody's got a collar on a dog and they're walking the dog, it's going to
mm-hmm.
go where you want it to go. But the second
exactly.
you release that collar, the dog's going to run off and run away. So if I never, you know, if I teach that dog how to walk straight and it starts
mm-hmm.
walking straight, well, it should continue to do so even if I'm not there, you know. But it's one of those things where you need to have willpower on your own to get yourself
mm-hmm.
into the gym and do it, so you don't need me.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
Get in there every single day. You should want to do it and do it on your own. So that's why I rely on some people to just have their own willpower. If they don't have that, well, I'm sorry you wasted your money. You know, and it's just not that I can do it. I don't issue refunds, but, I mean, I can give you all the tools you can need and teach you how to use it. You know, and it's that old adage, you know, you lead a horse to water,
right.
you can't make it drink.
Absolutely. There's
yeah.
one question I got to ask you. I don't know if you want to answer this. I saw your picture. You look like, and I'm telling you, this is a compliment, 100%. I don't know if you'll take it that way. Did anyone ever tell you that you look just like G.I. Joe or John Stryker on Mortal Kombat? I swear to God, when I looked at you, I was like, this. You look like an action figure.
What are you talking about? Those guys are too small.
No, I know, but I'm saying that,
no,
you know, there's a picture you have. My favorite picture is the one with the one that you have with a gun in your hand. You really look like you're at war.
Good.
That is
well,
such a great
picture. I'll get some acting gigs.
you should, I'm telling you, or something, because the picture, I'm telling you, it. When I looked at it, I was like, is this a poster? You know, it's. I mean,
oh,
you look great.
Thanks. Yeah, I definitely take that as a compliment. I actually... I get told more and more I look like, I can't think of the guy's name, I think it's Michael, or Michael Kahn. I don't know if you're familiar, James Kahn. James Kahn's son. He was, I think, in like, you
That's
know, some
true.
Of the Gone 60 Seconds movies.
Yeah, but you look better. You look better than
yeah.
Scott Kahn. He's short, he's like
5'3". Yeah, so I get that, the facial looks and things like that, but other than that, now people, you know, they always say, oh, you look like the Hulk and things like that, but... I just take it with a grain of salt, and it's just people's way of being funny. So I'm not sensitive about that stuff, but it's a compliment.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not trying
it.
To be funny, but it's the truth. You look, I mean,
yeah.
you look
hopefully,
like you're at war.
Maybe I can get some gigs and some acting going. That
you should
great.
Get some modeling gigs, too, because they always looking for, like, you know, I was looking it up on the internet one day, and I forgot the name of the company. I think it's Game S. I'm not sure. And they were really looking for somebody to, you know, stand in so they can copy your body and put it onto a video game. You should check it out.
That'd be awesome.
I'll give you that information later. I'm dead serious. You need to do that because you look like somebody that belongs in a video game, like that video game, like Gamer.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever seen?
Of course. I'm an avid Xbox player, so I know all about that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what I think you should do because you really have the body and your face. You know, it's like everything is like, it's like you got your, like a big Ken doll. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not a, you
no,
know,
don't
take it to any, but I'm telling you, I'm giving you a compliment. You're like 100% with me.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate that. I was actually at Nashville's. I don't know if you ever heard Adam Silver Modeling Agency. But he, they actually approached me and they were talking about signing me up and things like that. And he had mentioned also they're, I guess, coming out with, like, a new X-Men movie, you know, the X-Men. And, you know, they're looking, I don't know whether they're looking for new, you know, superheroes or whatever, just stand-ins or whatever. And I thought that was pretty cool. I'm like, man, I'd be up for that, you know. So we're working something out, and we're going to see, you know, what pops with that. But, you know, I'm at least working with somebody so they can get my name out there and hopefully, you know, get into some of that, make some extra money and have fun doing it. The problem, though, with most of this stuff is I'm very...
Hello, Nathan, you still there? Hello?
Yes, do you hear me?
Hello, Nathan, you there?
Yes, are you there?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you hear me?
What happened? Yeah, I can hear you now. Was it something, was it on your end?
It may have been, I don't know.
Okay. All right, well, go ahead, we'll continue with the show, don't worry about it.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I don't know where I died.
No, you were talking about, like, we were talking about, like, you should be a game show, like, not game show, excuse me, a figure, like a G.I. Joe, like a
okay.
John Stryker figure, and you said that you had Xbox, and...
Yeah, okay, well, I had mentioned that when I was at Nationals, I ran into a modeling agent there, Adam Silver, his name is Adam Silver Modeling Agency, and it was
mm-hmm.
just one of those things where he approached me, and he said they were working with a team that's putting together a new X-Men movie. So I was like, you know, that's pretty cool. So he was looking into, you know, getting my name and pictures out there and, you know, maybe
mm-hmm.
be a superhero or something. We'll see. You know? So
wow.
I was trying to get out there and do that. And I was just kind of mentioning after that, you know, it's tough for me, you know, to do, like, get into acting. I mean, I could definitely see myself doing it, but I'm a very moral and ethical person. So it's
right.
one of those things that, since high school, I have not, you know, like, uttered one swear word since then, and I just don't believe in swearing or cursing and,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously any type of perversion that you see on the big screen, you know, that's not something
right.
I would ever partake in. But, you know, to me, it's just more of a moral battle with most of these places. And I'll watch some movies, and I'll be like, you know, why did they have to swear there? Why did they have to do that?
Yeah,
the movie would have been just
you
as
know,
good without it, but...
That is so true. It always, you ever watch a comedy show? Like, I like this comedy guy named Michael McDonald. He doesn't have one curse word in there, and he was still funny.
Yep, exactly. Well, look at Jeff Foxworthy. I mean, he makes millions, and his stuff is pretty clean, you know, and it's, and, you know, if you like the redneck jokes, all that stuff.
Oh, I even watch his show. I used to watch his show every week. Something about Smarter Than a Fifth Grader.
Right, yep.
Yeah. I watch, there's like four guys behind him. I forgot there's one with, I forgot the name of those guys he travels with.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The cable
Ron,
guy?
Yeah, Ron and cable guy, yeah, I know who you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah.
The Redneck Comedy Tour, I think they call it.
Yeah, yeah, I love the four of them together. You know, when they talk about their wife and their kids and church and things, it's pretty good.
Yeah. People may not like me saying this, but to me it's just an intelligence issue. And with swearing and things like that, it's, ever since high school, I heard people swearing, and it's like, you can't think of something else in your sentence to add into this blank space when you can't think of what to say other than a swear word. And it's just, some people be like, or "ah," and, other people just throw a swear word in when there's a pause in the sentence, and it's like, you don't need to do that. Think of something else to say. Educated, and you don't need to use that. But you find more and more people, they swear because it's a cool thing, or they do this because it's a cool thing, or I get older guys like swearing nonstop to me because I'm younger and they think that's the way I communicate. They try to be cool. I'm like, buddy, I don't care if you swear or not in front of me. I said, that's your life. Do what you want, but I'm just letting you know you don't have to.
I'm guilty of it. I do swear, but I don't swear in conversations like the word, like the cat and the dog, and then there goes the nasty word. I mean, if I get if I hurt myself really bad, really hurt myself, or I fall down or hurt my hand, I'm like, and then there's the word.
Yep.
But I don't have it in kind of like you and I talking, and then there's an F-bomb in every word. That's not, I don't like that, especially if I'm doing a radio show. I know a radio host that curses every time.
Exactly. And that's what really bugs me. And it's just like, there's some stuff out there, like in muscular development. I think the guy's Greg Valentino, his name, and he's got these freaky big arms.
I know him.
What I'm talking about? And it's just like he has this section in MD Magazine, and I subscribe to the magazine. When that comes, that section gets ripped out the first thing. And it's just like every other word written in there is a curse word, swear word. I'm like, I would love to meet this guy in person, just really see how uneducated he is. And, why he would, pander that way. And I don't know if he's like that in real life. I'm assuming he is. But, it's almost like he's pandering to the younger kids that think it's cool. And, they don't know any better. Like these kids walking around in their goofy little gothic outfits and the earrings all in their head. And it's just like, where are you going to work when you grow up?
How about on our end over here? I don't know about up in upstate. Over here, the pants are all the way down to the knees.
Oh my gosh! What is
and
that?
It's showing the underwear. I think, oh my god, that makes me so mad when I see it.
I've got the ringtone. It's pants on the ground. I've got the ringtone on my phone, and I play it whenever I walk by somebody.
I don't get that.
And I actually stop people in Walmart or the stores on that, and I'm like, listen, I mean you absolutely no disrespect, but, and they're, of course, scared because they think I'm going to do something, but I'm like, what? You've got to explain, what is with the pants? I'm like, you're holding them up as you're walking. I said, why don't you just pull them up? I said, what is it? I mean, I'm sure it's fashion, but where does this come from? The honest answer I got from some kid, it was like an inner city kid. And he says that's how they do it in Brooklyn. That's the inner city look, and then you look at the rap videos and hip hop music, and you see it on TV. And I guess they do wear it like that, but that just seems annoying to me. I mean,
it is because
they
got that
hair.
Style.
It's like a piece of hair falling in your face. The people with long hair and hair is always in your face. I'd be like, get that out of my face! Like, come on. I don't know. Whatever. To each his own. Nobody's gonna care when we're 6 feet under. When we're 6 feet underground, nobody's going to care. So let them do what they want to do. Who cares?
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you. You really made my day. But, honestly, I'm having such a great time. You have no idea.
We have brains, too, not just weight.
But I just want to ask you one thing. This one last question, because our show is almost over. But I think we got some good stuff here. I mean, you know, I enjoyed the conversation that we're having. Give one word that defines Nathan Steiger. Like, give one word that defines you. Like, what you're say. Talk about. Say something that nobody doesn't know. That defines you as a person.
That's one I should have had. You should have sent me that one. I can think about it. So I guess I would have to respond to that with spontaneous. So, it would be just something where, it's something related to the fact that you have to, wear a different hat at different times, And you have to be a different person sometimes and just take what's given to you at the moment and just like you ask me a question, well, I'll come up with something to say about it. So it's one of those things, you know, you meet different folks. I meet all types of people, old people, young people, and, you know, just like we were just talking about, like with the cursing and the way people wear their clothes. You know what? I don't judge anybody. You know, in my head, I probably will say something to myself. It's just like, you know, what are they thinking? But if I have a conversation with them, I always act professional, and I always treat everybody with respect. And, you know, that's probably one of my biggest faults is that I'm too trusting. Because I've adapted since I've been young, you know, the thoughts that you should trust everybody that you meet and give them all the same amount of respect until they lose that, you know, or do something to break
exactly.
that respect
give them 100%.
And trust.
Start them off on the
but
top.
But everybody
and work.
Takes advantage of, you know, once they know that, people take advantage of you, and they're like, oh, he trusts me off the bat, so I'm going to do this and this
yeah.
and this. But
exactly. I'm very that's what
savvy.
I do. I put them at the top and then have them work their way down.
That's right. So, and when you're savvy enough and you can read people, you know, in my business with real estate and the other things as well, and I'm sure you are too with, like, attorneys, you can kind of read somebody's true nature.
Oh, yes.
Decide for yourself
definitely.
Right off the bat what kind of person they're going to be and whether you're going to have a conversation with them or not. And, you know.
You know, whether
so,
you're going to have a friendship or something like that. I can tell within 3 seconds.
Right. And people are always like, you are who you associate with, you know, and things like that. And, you know, that's true to some point, but
absolutely.
That's also telling me, too, that, you know, like, I'm not going to go hang out with a crack dealer, you know, a known crack dealer. But that also doesn't mean, you know, when people say, you know, people say, oh, you are who you associate with. Well, that's not necessarily true either, because by saying that, you're saying that I don't have the willpower or the strength to not deal crack or do crack or not hang out with crack. I mean, it's my choice. If I chose to hang out with a guy, it doesn't change me, does it? You know, but it does change people. It changes people's perception of me. But, you know, when it all comes down to it, you got to do what you want to do with your life and, you know, be the person you want to be. And I think that's my motto is nobody's going to care when you're 6 feet underground. So as much as people want to complain and argue about things, it's like, you know what, you got great designer jeans on, but you spent a lot of money and, you know what, nobody's going to care about your designer jeans or if they're halfway down your knees. When you're gone, nobody.
Oh,
I mean, think about George Washington and how awesome of a president. He's on our money, for crying out loud. Nobody remembers him on a daily basis.
Exactly.
And he was an amazing person. So you think somebody's going to care that you wore Gucci sunglasses?
You know, oh, my gosh. Nathan, you're so – I'm telling you, you're great. I'm telling you. I haven't laughed so much in so long, off the radio and on the radio. You are a terrific guy. Let me tell you. Can I please – have you on my show in December, the first week of December?
Anytime you want. You buzz me up. I'm all for it, and we'll do it. Just make sure you get sleep next time. you said you weren't sleeping because you knew the show was coming. So just next time, make sure you get some rest. You there? Hey, Claudia, are you there? Did I lose you? I didn't lose you, did I? I think we lost her.